Oh, welcome back, everyone. Oh, it is so good. Brookings. I don't know where that is. Brookings is off the respirator, and we are breathing once again because you are all back. It's so nice. Can everybody just give it up for the worship team for leading us? It was awesome. New favorite song, double click to edit. But no, that song was awesome though, actually. But I forget what it's called. That's its name now. for those of you, quick question actually, before we get in, I'm dropping things here. Before we get into the message, put up your hand. Don't be shy, please. If it is your first time here tonight, put up your hand. There's lots of people. Yeah, everybody give it up. Okay, now keep your hand up or put your hand up if you are skipping a floor meeting right now. All right, yeah. I don't endorse it, but I'm glad you're here. And I guess I kind of do by cheering. but we are so glad to have all of you, the new and the returning and the old and the people who are still doing degrees. I am in my sixth year of my Master's of Divinity, so don't feel bad if you're on year five or six. I have a friend who took 7 years to finish his undergrad, and he's awesome. So that means that you take 7 years, you become awesome because it's a godly number seven. We are just so glad to have all of you here. For those of you who are new, I know this might, and I don't know where you came from, maybe this is small, but for me, I worked at a church of 110 people before this, so this was giant when I first came. I'm like, oh, I oversee this many people and they're all in this age range? That's insane. My mind exploded a little, and then I recovered. But we want to know that this is a place that can be like a family for your 4 years in college, that families have come out of people being at this place, Oasis. I was at weddings this summer. I was at like four or five weddings, and all of them met at Oasis. So that's cool. So you might meet your spouse. You're probably going to meet some of your best friends for life, and you're going to have this awesome community where you can get connected. And though this might seem big, our service, there are tons of ways for you to get connected in a small way to make nice, intimate, cool connections. And I didn't mean intimate in the relationship sense, but I guess that's true eventually, hopefully. I pray that over this congregation. I actually pray for that. I pray that everyone finds their spouse here and that you love Jesus and that you make babies that love Jesus. Yeah. But you get married before that last part, the babies part. So on that note, I was thinking about the start of the year, and this isn't our kickoff, but it's kind of like our like kickoff light. And it's our first night, and I was thinking about starting up things. And for me, like, I love to start things. I get all excited when things are new and fresh. I'm so willing. And then I get halfway through the dishes and get distracted and do something else. And Kiana, that's my wife, she's like, hey, babe, you did like all the dishes before for some reason. And I'm like, I don't know. I was thinking about starting new things up and how we're so willing and excited. And sometimes it's something bigger. Maybe it's at the start of January. We have these awesome New Year's resolutions. And we're like, oh, I'm hitting the gym 5 days a week. January 1st to 9th was so good. January 10th to 19th, I had a cold. February rolls around and I've been to the gym zero times all of February. You guys know the drill for that. Eating habits for beach season or a beach vacation is I'm gonna eat salad every day. And then guess what? It rolls around that you're at a birthday party, so you have cake. And then someone offered you free Qdoba and you're like, well, I gotta eat all that for lunch. And before you know it, you didn't get your beach bod for beach season, but you ate a lot of good food. And maybe it's to start the year, and this is probably really relevant, and I used to do this so much, is to start the year, you have these good intentions that I am going to be this year. Maybe because you're a freshman, you're like, college is going to be different than high school. Maybe you're an amazing student, and this is irrelevant. But for me, it was like, this year is going to be different. I'm going to be a scholar to start the year. I'm going to focus. I'm going to read every single day. I'm going to tell my friends I can't hang out. After this time, I'm going to go to bed early, get up early. I'm going to... And then before you know it, week four of school rolls around, and you're drinking Mountain Dew on a Tuesday night at 3 a.m. with your friends playing Call of Duty. I was like, what happened here? So a lot of the time, we start with this willing heart, this excitement. And the thing is that a few months down the road or a few weeks down the road, they start to lose their shininess, and our motivation sometimes or tends to dwindle away. And I think that is something that can happen in our relationship with God as well. It's something where we can fall into this place and this trap of being like, oh, I was just really busy. I didn't get to attend to it. I missed going to my small group because of this reason, or because I procrastinated and had to do homework, or you guys get the drill. So that sounds depressing to start the year. But this is an encouraging message, so don't worry. All this that stuff's out of the way. Well, most of it. Because I think that if we do it right, if we set ourselves up right at the start of the year when we're willing and we're excited and we're full of life and energy, the day before school starts, that's the best day to do it. If we set ourselves up right to relate with God and to connect with people, it is crazy the way that God is faithful and we can connect with him throughout the whole year, and it can be this sustained, consistent, amazing thing. So to look at that, we're going to look at the story of Abraham, and we're going to look at his beginning. In the same way that we're beginning a new year, we're going to look at Abraham's start, really like our introduction to Abraham in the Bible. His name is Abram at this point, I'm not reading it wrong. His name's Abram. His name gets changed when he gets circumcised. That's a message for another day. But Abram is his name, okay? So it says this in Genesis 12, and just a little context. Abraham is father... What is it? I can't think of the song. I was going to make a joke about that kid's song that's Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Left arm or whatever. If you don't know that song, it's totally fine. You didn't grow up in church. You grew up in a cool church, or I'm really old and your church didn't do those lame kid songs. Abraham is the father of our faith. He is kind of like this beginning moment of Israel and then Christ. So we get to see the beginning of that story. And it says this: Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. This sounds good. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old and when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all of their possessions that they had gathered, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country to the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar of the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward Negev. So this is Abram's beginning of his faithfulness in his relationship with God. A few things to note from this passage is that first, is that Abram leaves everything behind. Before we find out, like, his dad lived 205 years, and he leaves him behind, and he leaves all he knew behind. He knew all his old practices of worship, all of the people who he knew and loved, his clan, his group. And he brought with him his brother-in-law, or his nephew, sorry, and his wife, and a bunch of their servants or people they had working with them. So he left everything behind to do this beginning. He was starting something new. And Abram, was willing. He had this great willingness about him to listen to the call of God on his life and to trust in God, to step forward not knowing what lied ahead. And I think, I don't know about you, but I don't know what lies ahead in my life. You guys probably have a little more unknowns than I do. I know what my job is right now, at least. You guys are like, I know I'm going to college right now. But if you're a senior, you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do next year for work. Working? What's that? Adult life? Ugh. And a lot of us don't know what lies ahead. We really don't know what lies ahead in our life. And a lot of the time, God is asking us to step out like Abraham and to trust in him and to do each day in a way that is honoring to him. And then we'll be blessed. And if we just stop the story here and we said, and you know what? Abraham he's the father of all faith. And that's awesome. And he blessed. Go and be blessed, knowing that when you step out in God's promise, everything will be good and happy and joyful. Everything will be joyful in the end. But the very next section in this passage, it says that Abraham ended up in Egypt where there's a famine, so that's rough. And then he ends up in this situation, and it's not necessarily he doesn't get counted as sinful from God, but he ends up telling the Egyptians that his wife is his sister and then sells his wife to Pharaoh's harem, and it's this like really, you're like, what on earth is this? Yeah, it's weird. But I read this quote about this passage, and it says this. It says, the second part of the chapter constitutes jeopardy on several counts. The famine itself is an obstacle because it argues against God's care, the blessing, for Abram. Going to Egypt and thus leaving the land have the potential of putting the land in jeopardy. The family also comes into jeopardy when Abram's wife is taken from him and added to Pharaoh's harem. As Abram sits alone and vulnerable in his tent in Egypt, the promises are in shambles. The covenant dangles from a frayed thread. No land, no family, nothing that looks even remotely like blessing. In this way, chapter 12 sets the tone for the next 10 chapters as advance and jeopardy are intertwined. God will resolve jeopardy as he fulfills promises and provides what is necessary for the covenant to move forward. A lot of the times in our life, when we're stepping into new things and we're willing, and things are going well, things are like the first 3 weeks of school, we feel so good. And we've been committed. Maybe we've been really good about connecting with God. Then what happens is we get busy and papers and midterms start to come up. And we run into situations a little bit different, but not unlike Abram's situation with the famine and his wife. We run into situations where we get hang-ups or suffering comes or we hit a trial. And if we aren't careful, if we don't set ourselves up right now, if we don't say, I am going to relentlessly trust in God that he will provide and that he will be there, what happens is the enemy takes us out or he cripples us. If he isn't going to take us out of our faith, he really wants to minimize our kingdom potential. Thankfully, Abraham has this amazing faith, and he's called the father of faithfulness That's a cool name. And he is faithful, and he listens to God's promise, and he believes in his covenant that this place will be for him and his people. And he believes that he's going to have a son, and they end up having a kid at like, he's like 90 years old, and his wife's old too. That's crazy. And what we see is that the beginning of the Israelites starts to take shape here. And then essentially, the beginning of all of us being here worshiping. God working through Abraham's faithfulness. Jesus says in Luke 9, 23 and 24, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." When we understand that trial is going to come, that bad things are going to come, and we know now when we're really excited and the start of the school year is coming and everything is really good, or maybe it's not. Maybe things are rough. Maybe you just had a breakup. Maybe there's someone sick in your family. Maybe something else has been going on. Know that if you take up your cross daily, if you take on the knowledge that Jesus is living and he is active, that he went to the cross, that he died, and that he rose again, defeating death, and that when we take that mantle up every single day, we know that Christ suffered, but that he also went up to glory, that he intercedes for us, and that as we're giving ourselves to him, we can live in the knowledge that he is a provider, that he is faithful, and that God is good. I know sometimes it gets easy to say God's good when we're all worshiping together here, but it's hard to say God is good when something really bad's going on. But God is good through it all. The more that we hold on to that, the more that we are going to understand that the enemy is trying to get at us. And that when we persevere through it and we push through it and things come around, we can reflect on them. Not at the end of our life, at the end of this year, or maybe at the end of a couple bad weeks and say, whoa, God was there that whole time. But I know I don't reflect like that unless I've been relating to God. So we're going to do that application portion actually before the message is over. There's a couple more remarks, but and there's two simple things. And honestly, the more that I focus on living out these two simple things, the more that I know I'm walking in step with God. And the first is this. It's be consistent in spending time with God in your personal life. Consistency builds trust. Our trust in God. The more that you spend time, and I'm not saying like you need to spend hours every single day, but the more consistent it is, if you're like, hey, I'm going to start with 5 or 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Maybe you want to spend more time with that than that. But the more that you're consistent in your relationship with God, dedicating specific time to him, putting it in your planner, if you use one of those, or your calendar, or mentally being like, hey, when I wake up, or hey, when I go to bed, this is what I do. I personally think there is something amazing about waking up and reading the word. Spend time with God, pray and read and reflect. Just spend time thinking on God and thanking him. So that's number one, relate, consistently with God. And the second is connect with other believers. We are not called to do our faith alone. We are called to do this together. So get involved with a small group, whether it's here or another campus ministry. Get involved with maybe just get connected with a couple people on your floor that you know love Jesus and meet with them like periodically and say, hey, how are you doing? How are things going in your relationship with God? How is your relationship time? Because guess what? the number one person that helps keep me accountable is my wife. She, and like, yeah, that's who I, that's the person who I'm closest in relationship with, which is a good thing. Is like, honestly, if I miss, because I got busy and I had to rush out the door and I didn't end up reading the Bible, if I miss it like 3 days in a row and I didn't spend time in prayer or reading the Bible, my wife is like, hey, have you been reading? Have you been praying? How's that going? She knows like before I know it's a problem. And the more that you relate with other people, the more they're going to start to be able to identify that thing in you. But you have to be willing to ask the hard questions and say hard things sometimes. But that's going to build up this amazing relationship between you, and then you're going to relate with God better. So those are the two things. Spend time with God. Be consistent in your relationship so that you build up trust. In the same way that Abraham builds up this amazing trust in God, he is so faithful. He is so committed to him that when he gets his only son, that God says, hey, I want you to take your son and I want you to sacrifice him. And Abraham says, okay, I'm going to go do it. And he goes and does it, and he sets him up on an altar, and he gets ready to sacrifice him, and it says like the dagger is in his hand, and then God stops him. That's how committed God or Abraham is to his relationship with God. And thankfully, we're not going to have to get close to sacrificing a person here. But sometimes we are going to have to make tough calls, or we're going to have to do tough things so that we can build one another up. So those are the practical things. Now, I hope this is a really cool encouragement. And it comes from Hebrews 11, 8 to 12. If I can flip it open. So it says this, it's about Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Abraham lived in tents, it said. That doesn't sound like too cool of a thing to do after you leave this nice, comfortable home that you've departed from. But what he was doing was he was building up a foundation in the kingdom, in the spirit realm, if you will. Realms are a little weird to talk about, maybe. In the spiritual. Because the physical cities that lay by pale in comparison to the foundations that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were building up. And though we might not have very much money, I don't know about you guys in college. My life in college did not have a lot of money. Right now, your bank account might look nice because of summer work, but November rolls around and it's like, ugh. Hopefully not November. Hopefully like March you say that. But what we have the potential to do is to build up foundations in the kingdom of God, to build up amazing relationships, to build up our relationship with God, but also build up relationships with others, to understand that like Abraham, who had this call on his life and stepped into the promise that God had given him, so too God has so many promises in here for all of us to live out, but also he has promises that he wants to speak to you individually, and that we get to be a part of that building of that kingdom. And it says that Abraham was the father of as many people, as many believers as the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore. And I was thinking about that idea, and I was like, wow, that's amazing. The legacy of Abraham. But then I started thinking I was at a wedding, one of the Oasis weddings that two people met here. I got to be in the wedding party. And I was talking to one of the other people in the wedding party, and I just had this thought of and if some of you might know him, but most of you not, because he wasn't on leadership or wasn't at this church when I was here. So when I started, he had graduated. But his name's Josh Jasper. And I was reflecting and thinking on the idea of some of the people on our leadership team that he had made an impact on. And then I thought about all of the people, and he wasn't the reason all of them came into faith, but he had an impact in their lives. And then the people that he impacted and the people that they impacted, and then the people that are impacting those people now who made that impact. So the cascading effect of that. And it's crazy to think one faithful person can make a huge impact for the kingdom. And Josh is an amazing Christ follower, but I think he would tell you he's not special. He's just willing. And he wants to say yes to God. And he does say yes to God. And though we might not cascade down to hundreds of students this year, my guess is that each and every one of us can impact one person, or maybe two people, or maybe a dozen people, or maybe just part of a person. And that person can impact two people in the future. Who knows how far down the line? Maybe it's all this year. Maybe there's this cascade that happens because you impacted one person, because God was using you and you stepped into his promises and you said, God, I'm going to relate with you and I'm going to connect with you. You get opportunities to speak his truth and his life into people by way of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, the amazing kingdom impact that can come through relating with Jesus, through stepping into the promise and being willing, it's amazing. Each of you, each and every one of you in this room is loaded with kingdom potential, glorious kingdom potential. And if we set ourselves up right to start a year, dedicating our lives to Christ, as we step into the new school year and we say, I'm going to get busy, but I am going to take my time to relate with God. And I know that he has promises, and though hardships may come, I'm going to rest in you, God. You're going to be part of those innumerable stars in the sky or sands on the beach. God wants to use each and every one of us. The question for this year is, are we gonna let him? And are we gonna be ready? Because if we don't have a plan for committing ourselves to God for the year is gonna plan us. And we're going to end up looking back on the year saying, I missed out on those opportunities. And I know I've missed out on my fair share of opportunities in the past. But I also know that when we're faithful and we say yes to God and we connect with him, he's going to speak amazing things into your life and amazing things through your life. So be empowered and know that God has a unique, amazing plan for you for this week, for this year, and for your life. And that if you commit yourself to him, if you walk in step with him, and you find people that can help bring you along in that, you might never see the number of people that end up being reached. I don't know if we get to see that in heaven. That sounds cool, but I don't know if we do. But I know that if you live your life for him, there will be people in heaven worshiping. And there will be people here on earth living life fully with kingdom power, doing amazing, miraculous things because you said yes, because you were willing, and because you said, God, I believe in your promises. We're going to go into a time of prayer. For those of you who are new, we pray for a couple minutes at the end of every message. And it's just a way of saying, hey, God, you've spoken. And I'm not God, but God speaks in amazing ways. The Spirit is working. And we say, God, you've spoken, and let me take a minute to listen from you. What do you want me to do? How much time do you want me to commit to you? Or maybe it's not a time thing. Maybe it's just a dedicating yourself to him. And there's going to be some people in the back if you want to be prayed for about anything. Or maybe you're like, this is all new to me. I don't know this much about some of this stuff. I just want to learn more. There will be people in the back during the worship set and during the prayer time. And there will also be a couple people, if you go through those doors right there, there's a little chapel right in there. And there will be people in there, if you want to be prayed for, if there's anything in your life, it doesn't have to relate to the message. If it does, awesome. If it doesn't, if there's just something you want some encouragement, there's going to be some people in there. Because being prayed for is an amazing thing. And understanding that God works in miraculous ways through the power of prayer. That when we pray, we are releasing like God's Spirit into this realm, that into the earth that the enemy has a level of dominion in, and we are breathing the Spirit into that, and we are breaking the power of sin and death that he wants to use to conquer. He wants to kill, seek, and destroy. But God, by way of Jesus on the cross and the movement of the Spirit, brings life and life abundantly. So be prayed for, or take this time and just spend some time reflecting and speaking to God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this night. God, we thank you for beginnings. God, we thank you for the starting of a new year, a fresh year. God, a year where it's kind of a clean slate. We might already have a GPA, but God, we have this year's GPA. God, we have this year's new amazing things. Maybe it's some new roommates. Maybe it's something else. Maybe, God, we've moved away from home for the first time. And God, I pray that as we begin the year, that you would be a part of each and every life here. God, that we would commit ourselves more and more daily to your service, that we would take up our cross daily. God, that we would be wrapped up in Christ, knowing that we are protected in him, but that we also live through him. And God, we pray that your life, that your amazing, miraculous life that is inspiring, that encourages, that builds up. God, we pray that that your amazing love, your grace, and your peace would move into our hearts through our lives, and God, that we would connect with you and connect with others. God, I pray for your kingdom to be built up. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that this congregation would know that we have a calling, and that calling is to build your kingdom. God, we pray that as we build your kingdom, that the cascade, that the ripple would be strong, that it would be fierce, and that it would be like a tidal wave. And God, we pray that from humble beginnings, that in our willingness, that when we don't know what lies ahead, we would say yes, and we would know that you, that life in you, has the promise of life eternal and life to the full here on earth. God, we love you. And we thank you for your amazing love. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.